All right, we're starting from the Mishnah Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. It's Shnei Nizirim. Shamar lahen Echad. Ra'iti Echad Mikem Shnitma. So you have two Nizirim, and there's a third party who says to these two Nizirim, I saw one of you guys become Tameh. Ve'eni Yodei Aizem Mikem. But I don't know which one of you guys became Tameh. So now we have each one of them is a Sapeg Tameh, or Sapeg needs a Tegachas Etuma. But they're also sapeg whether they are a nazir or tahor. So what do they do? Magalchin, or maybe in a karban tuma, the karban tahara. So they both, at the end of that period of nazirut, the first set of nazirut that they took, say for instance a 30-day nazirut, at the end of the 30 days, they both come to a gilach haros, and then they bring a karban tuma and a karban tahara. Bomer.
So this would be an example of the Nazir Tame that we had in the, Nazir Safek Tame. We had the scenario, Nazir Safek Tame and Safek Tamechamachan.
Not exactly, because here he's only Tame.
No, but this is an example, like the way the question, how could it happen that he's Suffolk Tame?
Yes, Suffolk Tuma.
Someone says, so one of you. Right.
Okay. Umevin Karban Tuma, Vikarban Tehara. They bring a series of Karban Tuma, and a Karban Tuma consists of a sham, which you will not bring, right? Whereas the Chatos, you can bring misafek, and so can you bring the Ola misafek, and you bring a Karban Tahara. Bomer, and the person says, Imani hu Tamei, right, if I'm the one who became Tamei, Karban Tuma Shili, the Karban Tuma, the Karbanot Tuma that I'm bringing now are mine, the Karban Tahara Shulcha, and the Karbanot Tahara belong to you, because you are Tahor. Imani hu a Tahor, if I'm the one who's Tahor, Karban Tahara Shili, and the Karbanot Tahara now are mine, Karban Tuma Shulcha, and the Karban Tuma belong to you. We shall frame Shloshim Yom. Then they wait an additional 30 days. Or maybe in Karban Tahara. At that point, they only bring a Karban Tahara, a single Karban Tahara, Bomer. Right? Yim Anihu Atamei. Right? Am I the one who is Tamei? Karban Tuma Shili. If I'm the one who is Tamei, then the Karban Tuma was mine. The Karban Tahara Shalcha, and the previous Karban Tahara that we brought was yours. Vizik Karban Taharati. And now, the Karbanot that we're bringing now is the completion of my Nizirut. But Menihu Atahor, if I was the one who was always Tahor, I never became Tamei, then Karban Tahara Shali, the original Karban Tahara, the first one that we brought is mine. Karban Tuma Shalcha, and the Karban Tuma was yours. Vizik Karban Taharatcha, and this is the completion of your Nizirut. Right, so basically what we end up doing is we have a Karban Tahara and Tumah to start with, and then we have a Karban Tahara at the end, because whoever is Tameh needs to do a Tiglachas Tumah, and then needs to bring their Karbanot B'Tahara. Whoever is Tahor, all they need is the Karban Tahara at the point of first cutting. So then you have Karban Tahara and Tumah at the first location, each one belonging to wherever it is, and then you have a Karban Tahara at the end, which is for the one who was Tamei at the first set. Now
Karban is I think it's a Mishnah in Krisos talks about a few Mishnayos that I think were there's a machlokas as to whether or not you can be masne
on a Karban Hashem.
Karban Habar Lachait.
Not Chatos. The only machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon and a Karban Hashem. Like, Rabbi Shimon believes that a Karban Hashem can be brought out tonight, right. So that you can bring it out tonight. So here too, you could bring the Karban Hashem out tonight. Most of the Shimon point out here that din is like the Rabbanon, which you cannot bring in a Karban Hashem out tonight. Therefore, you would not bring in a Karban Hashem. It's also like the position of the Chachamim that the Karban Hashem is not Ma'akif. That the once you bring the dami, the Chatos, the damim of the chatat, then you can cut your hair and move on and you can do the next series, so it won't be ma'akev. So according to the chachamim, who say that a korban hashem cannot be brought out tonight, they also believe that it's not ma'akev, you continuing your tenth of nazirus. So according to Rabbi Shimon, who needs it, you can say to bring it out tonight. The chatas can be being brought as a safek, because it's a bird, it happens to be a bird here, the chatas, and the ola can always be brought out tonight, because it's in the davah, and at the end, you'll have the karban tahara, you'll have an ola, which you can bring out tonight, you can bring the shlamim out tonight, and you have a chatas, and you'll just use the chatas. What you'll end up doing is using the chatas of as the safek instead of the behemah. Alright. Tane, now I just point out that the Shrein point out here that this is a case when the Zirim do not contradict his statement. Meaning that if they objected to his statement, then they would be neman to say that they are Tarak because they're machish e'erachad, and it's fine for them to be machish e'erachad because they're neman in that case. That's the case here with their stikat, that they don't respond to his claim because either they don't know or they agree to his position that they are, one of them is Tameh. So that's one point that you have to talk about here, that they are shutkin, that they are silent with regard to this. The other issue
is... It seems more likely that they don't know, and if they agree, if they thought so in the first place, they wouldn't wait for someone else to help with their
claim. Right. Tani, shnei nizirim, shamar lahem ra'iti akad mehem shnitma, v'nudeiz mekem. So one says, I saw, you know, our Mishnah, and I don't know which one of you became Tameh. I saw one of you become Tameh, I don't know one, but mine. Why should it be that he's Neman, or why should they be Tameh, more importantly? Why? Where do we learn out that whenever you have a Safek Tum'ah, Birshuta Yachid, where that it remains Tameh? Where do we learn this from? Mi Sota. Ma Sota Bo El V'Niv Elet. How many people are involved in the case of Sota? Two, right? The Boel, right? And the Nivelet. Akol Savek Tumar B'Shuta Yachid, what is called Savek Tumar B'Shuta Yachid is not just B'Shuta Yachid like we know B'Shuta Yachid for Rishiyot of Shabbat. B'Shuta Yachid also has a demand that they eat the Beit Rei. And there are only two people there, just like it is by Sota. Aval Hakol, in our case over here in the Mishnah, how many people are involved? You have Shnei Nizirim, right? You have two Nizirim, Vikai, the Kaiga Behon. And you have one of them, this guy, who's telling them that one of you is Tameh. How many people do you have? You have three. Ha, it's Latavali. Right here you have three Nizirim, and what does that make it into? That makes it into a Safik Tum'ah Birshuta Rabim. If it's a Safik Tum'ah Birshuta Rabim, what's the din of Safik Tum'ah Birshuta Rabim? Right, well, Safik Tum'ah Birshuta Rabim, Steko Tahor. So if we're talking about a Safek Tumah here, which is what the case of the Mishnah is, there are two possibilities. Is it in Rishus Yachid, and therefore we would be Neman to say that he's there Tameh, or do we say that it's Rishut Rabim and then the Safeko is Tahor? What's the definition of Rishut Rabim and Rishut Yachid for this case? That we learn from Sota. Sota is the defining, or the Makor, the paradigm for this bin. That the binyan after this din that what? Whenever you have a Safek Rishus Yachid, it's Tameh, and Safek Rishus Rabim is Tahor. And how is Rishus Yachid, or how is Sota defined? It's defined by the Boel and Nivelet, and there are two people there. Our case is three people. You have two Nizirim plus the guy who saw what happens. You have three people there, then what? It should be Safek Rishus Rabim Tahor. So why in this case are we making them bring Karbanos? Why are we worried about the Tumah at all? So Amar Rabba Baruch Huna. I saw some tumah that was thrown between you guys, meaning that he is standing from afar. He's not with the other two Nizirim. Therefore, the two Nizirim are by themselves, and he is standing from afar. We can make a deal for this out of our Mishnah. I don't know which one of you became Tameh. Why don't I know which one of you became Tameh? Because I was standing too far away to see it. Not Vishachakti, that's what the Mishnah point out. If he was standing close enough and he saw which one and then he forgot which one of them became Tameh, he should say Vishachakti. The point is that when he's standing far away, there's a less ability to discern who became Tameh. And that's why he says, in Yodem, right, which one of you became Tameh? So based on that, we have two. And one, two is fake, suffix, Tumah Vishachia. And therefore, if Samek Tumah Mishuta Yachid, you should be Tameh. Problem is, well, if it's Samek Tumah Mishuta Yachid is Tameh, both of them have the Safek. If you look at each Nazir, he has a Safek Tumah Mishuta Yachid. Since he has a Samek Tumah Mishuta Yachid, then he should be Tameh. They both should have to bring a Karban Tumah. If the din of Safek Tumah Mishuta Yachid is you are Tameh, then both of them have a Safek Tumah Mishuta Yachid, and they both have to bring a Karban Tumah. What's the Safek? What's the difference between them over here?
See, there's all the Safek.
What, I'm sorry?
See, you can resolve the Safek. Ordinarily, you can't resolve the Safek. For some reason, you don't know. But here, since you know that only one of them is Tameh.
Right. So this answers along your lines here, but...
Karban, the Safek is in Karbanos.
Yeah, but you have two different dinim. One din is, what's the din of someone who's a Safek Tameh Bishus Yachid? Then you have Ksach. Ksach Halacha is now he's Tameh. Once he's Tameh, then bring the Karbanos and they are not Chulin Bazar because he's now Tameh and he must bring them. So that's, you have to look at it in two stages.
Right, exactly.
So that is the case, then there is no longer a suffek here, and we're really not dealing with solving a suffek, because we paskin the halacha what their status is. So, but the Tosfos answers along what Shaul is suggesting over here along the lines here. Look at the bottom Tosfos on the Zayin Amud Aleph. He says, "V'im Tomar." The last Tosfos here, but Omer Eidish Nizukat Tuma Benechem. Right below the Benechem, it says, "V'im Tomar." Im Kein Yavi Kol Echad Karban Tuma Vaday. The whole Suffik Tuma B'Shvisi Achid Sarfim Tuma. Right, and then each one of them is, we now have Sakalok of each one of them. You are Tamei. The only time we learn from sota is something that looks like sota. What does that mean? What you were suggesting, Shaul, which is that case of sota is clearly they both could be tamei. Meaning they both could have been in violation of a din. Here you have an ishit ish who's involved with another party. Therefore, they can both be tamei. In our case, that is just not true. It's impossible that they both became tamei. We know that only one of them became tamei, as Shaul was suggesting. But because of that, not because that is the reason that they're not tamei, but the reason is that doesn't look like sota. Since it doesn't look like sota, we're not going to learn from sota. Therefore, he goes on. Tosfos goes on to ask, what are you going to do about, what was the Gemara's question when it says, Tumah b'shvis harabim is patur, right? Why is, I mean, or tahor. If safek tumah b'shvis harabim is tahor, right, well, let's look at sota. If we can't learn from sota, why? Because yafshar. It's not the same thing. Then also don't learn about it from safek tumah b'shvis harabim, and then you should have a safek here, just like you have safek by sota. So, he says, so Tosfos says in the end, you know what? You're right. Yesh lomar, the suffix to the shuv rabbin la misota gamrinan. We don't learn it from it. Ela kol chad v'chad mukminan achezkate. We give each one his chazaka. And what's the chazaka here? The chazaka is that they were tahor. Before they came into this situation, their chazaka was their tahor. So therefore, if we have suffix to my b'shus rabbin, which is generally tahor, then we're going to say, leave them in their chazaka. And the chazaka is that they are tahor. And therefore, only when we have it in a suffik tumah b'shus yachid, where there is something that would undermine their chazaka, then do we say that we bring them into the position where they are now having a suffik tumah. So Tosfos has to really press around to understand why this is comparable to the case of sotah, where the Gemara is really looking at it as a parallel case to that of sotah, but in truth, it's different than the case of sota. And so he has to balance between those two, and he comes up with a solution saying, one, by suffek tumah b'shus yachid, we only deal with the issues that are same by sota, not if it's yashar. And number two is, by suffek tumah b'shus yachid, he says you have another item or halakhic principle at work, which is chazaka, that they have a chazkas tahara, and therefore if it's in b'shus yachid, suffek tumah b'shus yachid, we leave them in their chazkas tahara. Whereas when it's suffek tumah b'shus yachid, that undermines their chazkas tahara, because now we know for sure and one of them is tamei, and suffek tumah b'shus yachid would demand that you are tamei. So therefore, we now move them into a position where the chazaka is gone, and therefore they have a suffek tumah. All right, next part of the Gemara, very, 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 very interesting Gemara. The Gemara continues through tomorrow's daf, goes back to a sugi that we had on Mem Aleph. And the sugi that we had in Mem Aleph, which dealt with nizirut. How do we know that a nazir has to get cut with a tar? How do we know that a mitzvah needs to get cut with a tar? How do we know that a nazir mitzvah gets cut with a tar? All those issues that we had on Mem Aleph, the Gemara is going to go back and rewrites that whole sugi again. We'll just start it today, but very interesting sugi, because the Gemara asks, Ba'amai, why can they go ahead and be safek nizirim here? Why? What's the problem? Dilma, lav tmei minut. Maybe they're not tmei. Beka'aviv hakafa. And you're doing hakafa sarosh. Right? We know that when you cut off all your hair, you're also cutting off your pails. Right? Lo takifu patrashchem. You're violating lo takifu patrashchem. So, b'makom mitzvah, if it's b'makom mitzvah, we say no problem. So if you really are a nazir tmei, you can cut it. If you really are a nazir tahor, you can cut it. Problem is here, we're now cutting these individuals four times. Each one of them, one because they might be tamei, and one for their tara. How can it be the one who is not tamei here? He's cutting his hair twice, and he'd be violating lo tekibu bat rishkem, because it's lo b'makom mitzvah. It's not the makom mitzvah.
It's not to the first cutting until after the 30 days, until after the period of zero.
It is. Okay. So now you do it after 30 days. So one of them is tahor, he needed a haircut. One of them is tamei, he needs a haircut. Then after the second set of 30 days, what do you do? They both get haircuts again. the one who was tahor in the first place now is getting a cut that he doesn't need.
He finished his nazir.
This is a kavas aros. Is the problem, not nazir. Kavas aros. Hey, it's the kibbutz. It's violating the isir of cutting his payot off of the lobe makom mitzvah. All right, so that's the problem here. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says no problem. Our Mishnah is talking about an isha and a katan. It's talking about an isha and a katan. Isha and katan do not have an isur of both equal partial shem. So our Mishnah is a narrow case of isha and katan. Gemara says, but lukma be gadol, right? Set it up as a gadol, and based it on the Yiman Damar that says, kava darol arosh, lushma kofa. Right, there is an opinion, right? There is a view in the Gemara that Gokhibu Patrosh Chem is only when it's the peyot, meaning that when you have corners. You only can have corners when you have the rest of your hair. If you've shaved off the rest of your head, there is no rishkrim anymore, and therefore there is no violation of kava darol arosh. So midalo mukli lahachi. So what do we see? From this, you can see that if it's Shmuel did not go in that direction, you have to believe or you have to know that Shmuel holds that Kavas Kol Arosh is called Hakafa, because otherwise he could have answered up, it's a Gadol, and it's just not called Hakafas Arosh. The fact that he said that the case in our Mishnah is a Isha and a Katan tells you that he believes that Kavas Kol Arosh is Shma Hakafa. Right. Marzutra Matni La Hashmati Shmuel Seifa. Rasucha learned this position of Shmuel on the Seifa, which is Nazir Shaya. This is our case from the Gemara, so you were mentioning this earlier. Our case from the previous parak, Nazir Shaya Tameh B'Safek, Umuchlat B'Safek, which is the Mishnah we quoted, right? In the previous parak. Ochel B'Kotchen L'Achar Shishim Yom, M'Goleach, Kashdala, Tzig L'Achot. Right, so that's the same problem. Here this guy goes ahead and he can eat kachim after 60 days, and he can have wine and be metamei lamitim after 120 days. In the interim, he ends up doing 4 tiglachot. Out of those 4 tiglachot, right, at least 3 of them are misafek. Right, he may not need 3 of those tiglachot. So what is Amar Shmuel b'isha v'katan? That case in that Mishnah was a case again of isha and katan, and not a case of a gadol.
Yes, it begs the question a little bit. When you have something like this, then with a gadol,
He's stuck. Nazir Kolim Avar, Tzarat Kolim Avar, it's really a problem. It's really a big issue, what he does in these situations, right? Knows that somebody just asked me upstairs, what does he do? If, according to Shmuel, Gadol is in a bad position. We've had these before. These cases where somebody can't get out of the Nazirut the right way, there's been Nazirut Olam and other issues where it came up. But this, according to Shmuel, this individual is in a precarious position. So even unless he becomes a Tzorah Mukhlat, I mean, Tuma, you could really, Tuma or Tzaras Mikulachat, we'll see, there are other, maybe other solutions according to other opinions, but according to Shmuel, unless he becomes a Tzara Mukhlat or a Tamei Mukhlat, he's going to run into problems. Alright, Amar Rav Huna. So this is very interesting. Sugya. Hamakifet HaKatan, Harehu Chayav. Whoever is Makifet HaKatan. So a Katan, we know, is not Chayav and Lotukipo HaKatan, because he's not a Baron Shin. Right? But someone who is makifet akatan, someone who provides a person who cuts the katan's peyot off, is chayav. So Amar Le Rav Adar Bar Abba Le Rav Huna v'didach man megalech l'chom. So he said, Rav Adar Bar Abba says to Rav Huna, I see your kids are totally heads are totally shaved. Who shaved their heads? If you believe that a gadol cannot be makif the katan, who cut their heads? Now I don't know. Before he says over here that it was a some sort of medicinal purposes that they used to shave the kids, in order for the kids to get better, they used to shave all their hair off. Whatever the point was that they had these kids who had all their hair shaved off, and they did it. How did they do it? I mean, halakhically, how did they do this? How did they get all their hair shaved off? So Rav Huna says, well, anybody who's makif katan, right, is chayav. So who did their haircuts? According to Rav Adar Bar Abba's question, we know that Rav Adar Bar Abba would have permitted a gadol to do this. But he thinks a gadol could have done it. So he's saying, the shita's Rav Huna, why, who did it? So didach man galachu. I'm like, chova. He says, chova. Who's chova? Chova is the wife of Rav Huna. He said, my wife did it. Right, that's it. Right, whenever he has the Shabbos guy, so here he had the Hakafa guy, right, she did the haircuts for the children. So Rav Huna, Rav Adar Bar Abba replies to Rav Huna, says, Tik Rav Huna Chova Lebanea, that Chova should bury her children. So Rav Adar Bar Abba clearly believed that Rav Huna Lishitato was wrong. If you believe that someone, right, that the fact that a katan is not Chayav in peyot does not poter the one who cuts his hair, then equally a gadol and an isha should be chayevet if they cut the katan peyot.
When you say that she's going to be liable for burying her children, she's the one's in violation.
Right, so he said that because of this, she does not have, and from what Barshim learned, he was saying that Chova, who did not have Irat HaOnesh, was not afraid of doing something that was wrong, right, then she should bury her children. I mean, it was an expression. It was not a punishment. He just made it, it was an expression, and all the Yishon here said, Haya, Ishkaga, you tell me, Pia Shalit. Right, it was like a mistake that came out of the commander's or the ruler's mouth. And guess what? That's the problem. All the years of Rabada Brava, Ravuna had no children. Or his children passed away, either one. He didn't have a children. I mean, that came true. But it wasn't a curse necessarily, but the statement of Rabada Brava had impact. And we have this in other places, in times by Shmuel, who says about cutting his nails. And things that when a Talmid Chacham speaks and just says something that otherwise you would think is just a expression or some sort of form, it has tokef, it has power, and people have to be careful how they speak. Right? Less so about this quote-unquote ayin hara, but more about that when a person makes a statement that sometimes that it's shalit yotze, shkoda yotze mipil shalit, we say, or sometimes we say that kilulat tediot al tiyah kala be'necha. His idea is that sometimes words have large impacts. Over here they did, and it died. Now, michte, the Gemara wants to understand their machlokas. The vayu sevirlu, the hakavas kol rosh shma hakavu. Both of them agree that hakavas kol rosh is hakavu. Why? Because you see that they're dealing with the problem. They're dealing with the problem is how do the kids get their hair cut? If hakavas kol rosh was not shma hakavu, then the answer to the question would be, they're not in violation of hakavas kol rosh. Why are they in violation of hakavas kol rosh? Because there is a problem of cutting their entire heads. So by michlege, what do they argue about? Now, Rav Huna believes, right? So you have two problems here. One is hakavas harosh, or cutting off the peyot. The second one is cutting the beard. There is a hekesh between them. Anybody who can be in violation of hashkata dazakein, of cutting the beard, can be in violation of tekifu et patroshchem. Guess who? Kosheishlo, right? Who is, does not have that problem? Haninishe, women, since they have no din of hashkata dazakein, that's a Mishnah in Kiddushin, right? Women are not, since they are not Baal. Alright, Zakein, they don't have a beard, so therefore they don't have a din of Ashkata. Alright, let who nami balkafa, therefore according to Rav Huna, they also do not have a din in, and therefore women do not have a violation if their peyot are cut, they're not in violation. If they cut other peyot, someone else's peyot, they're also not in violation because they're just not in that din entirely of Pas Rosh Chen. So that's why Rav Huna believed that his wife, Chova, could cut his children's hair. Because he believed that Chova was not in the parsha of Lo Takivu Ba'at Rosh Chen.
Children also don't have
beards. Sorry?
Sorry. Children also don't have beards.
Right. So, children don't have beards, but that means what? That maybe, right, maybe children could cut someone else's hair, but that doesn't mean, right, that they don't have a
but what's the issue to cut a child's hair if he doesn't have a beard? According to Rav Huna, if he doesn't have a beard, he's not chayav and hakavas harosh.
No, but that's not if he doesn't have a beard. No, he can't. He's not in the category of beard growers. Mm. Women are not in the category of beard growers, whereas ketanim, up there, boys, are in the category of
beard growers, and we say that he's a bulgar if he has two sorrows. You know, it's like it seems.
No, it's not. It's a din. It's a gender din, not a din in functionally. Do you have a beard or not? I mean, a woman who has a beard also will not be in violation.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So that's.
That
an isha could cut. Yeah.
So it shouldn't be just restricted to Gadam.
Yeah, but he will be in violation. That's the problem. We'll see in a second that there's a problem. Or, I mean, that the nikah also has an isur. I mean, that if, even if
Chova. You can't do it, you can't allow someone else
to do it to you. Right. I mean, that if Chova went and cut a gadol, I mean, his own Rabuna's hair, then, all right, Chova would not be chayavet, but Rabuna would be chayav because he cut his peyot are now cut off, and that's a violation of the Kippur Patrushka. All right. Rav Abba says, there is a hekesh between the kad'i and the kader, right? That whoever it is, b'mashma. B'itkesh, makif, the nikaf. And the makif, the one who cuts, is conditioned or connected to the one who is being cut. Kolheka, the nikaf, mechayev. Makif, nami, mechayev. Right? So wherever the one who is being cut is in violation, then the kader is also in violation. By katan, hol behu gufei labor onshin. Since this katan is not a bor onshin, therefore there's no restriction against what's keep by gofem. Right? Who the chaya, the labor onshin, who the mechayev, makif, nami lo mechayev. And therefore, but the one who cuts his hair is not in violation as well. That means that, what did Rav Adar Bar Abba believe? Rav Adar Bar Abba believes not only can a woman cut a katan's hair, even a gadol can cut a, that even Rav Huna could have cut his own children's hair. Right, so when, that's why I said above, when Rav Adar Bar Abba asked Rav Huna who cut your hair, Rav Adar Bar Abba wasn't asked based on his position. His position was that Rav Huna could have cut his hair. Right? He was asking based on the position of Ryu, the Shitakha, Rav Huna, who believes that what? That there is no hekesh between the one who's being cut, the kadi and the cutter. Right? In that case, since the katan is la baronshin, who cuts your kid's hair? Who cuts your kid's hair? Because the makif is always chayav. Whether the makif, according to you, Rav Huna, would be chayav, whether it's you, or whether it's a, your wife. Because they are both included in the restriction of lo tekifu batul shkem. Rav Huna says, no, I believe women are excluded from the parsha of lo tekifu et parsha lo shkem, and therefore they don't have that problem. So now really, the machlokus is between
them. I'm sorry, is this makif lo mechayev? He's basically saying kotar avalasa?
No. Why?
Saying lo mechayev, he's not chayev in the punishment.
Alam mechayev, he's not in this, he's not inside the lav, he's not chayev of the lav, meaning that he's outside the parsha of this lav. Here you would mean that you could do it look at
the tefillah. No, but what we're saying about katan is that the katan is lav baronshin.
Right, but there, here the Gemara believes that since he's a lav baronshin, that he's, it's not an issue at all. I don't, there's no b'di'evit here, the Gemara's not reading b'di'evit. Rav Adar Bar Abba believes you can cut a katan's hair. You can do a kavos rosh to a katan. Now, turns out the machlokas, they're really arguing about two issues. Well, I'll do that. Well, this Tosfos is large. We finished the daf now, because the next sugya really starts, goes into tomorrow's daf. This is that's the Gemara from Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and you really need to start from this Tanur Rabbanan, which is the sugya that we've seen before. So what I want to do is spend some time on this Tosfos here, this last Tosfos on the Yomot here, which is important in Tosfos. One is, what, how does their limud work? Right? How do their limudim work? And based on the limudim, it turns out that we're going to see that the machlokas between Rav Abba, Abba and Rav Huna is in two issues. And we'll see that in a second. So one is, so let's just look at this Tosfos quickly. So let's start out with this. What is Pashtedik Rav? What's the simple meaning of the Pasuk? Meaning, if you read the Pasuk, what would you think? It says, look at Kibbutz Rosh Hashem. It says, Vadei L'Nikaf Azhar Rachmano. Right, that when you look at the Pasuk shadow of the Pasuk is restricting a person from having his peyot be cut off. Why? It says, look at people at Pat Rosh Chem. Rosh Chem is your head. Your head is, right, dealing with your own head. Don't allow your head to be mukaf. So therefore, the Pashtei Akra is talking about the nikaf. Right? Pat Rosh Chem, dino nikaf. Alright? Umil, mit amar lo takifu. Since it says lo takifu sounds like you have another party that's doing the hakafa versus lo tiv lo tukfu. And lo tukfu at Pat Rosh Chem would be musaf halav gamal makif. So therefore, what? Lo takifu introduces the point that there is also a restriction against the makif and not just the nikaf. Alright, so everybody is going to agree, this is what we'll start with, the basic premise, is that if Pashup Shad of the Pasuk is that a nikaf is chayav, right, that's what the Pasuk reads. Let's keep it by Shurosh Kem. Both Rav Huna and Rav Adar Bar Abba are going to say that a nikaf is chayav. If you are a bar chayuba in the restriction of Let's keep it by Shurosh Kem, the nikaf is going to be chayav. The only question now is regards to the makif, the one who's doing the action. And that will be a difference between Rav Huna and Rav Adar Bar Abba. According to Rav Adar Bar Abba, there's a hekesh between lo takifu and lo takifu et pash rosh chem. So wherever the nikaf is chayav, so is the makif, no matter what the status of the makif is. Right? And wherever the nikaf is patur, the makif is also, right, patur, no matter what his status is with regards to the sisur. So therefore, the conclusion of Rav Adar Bar Abba is that, number one, you can cut a hair of a katan, That is both an isha can cut a hair of a katan as well as a ish. Anybody can cut the hair of a katan because the hair of a katan is not kayav in l'tikipu batvashkan. Since he's not kayav, that will influence the makif. That will influence the one who is cutting his hair, and they will also be turim from the restriction of l'tikipu at batvashkan. Whereas, if you have a gadol, right, that is the nikaf. If a gadol is the nikaf, if an ish is the nikaf, it won't matter who cuts his hair. It won't matter if an ishak cuts his hair, right, or an ish cuts his hair, they will both be in violation of lo takifu prat rushkan. Because a woman, right, even though she's not chayevet in lo takifu prat rushkan, but because she's cutting the hair of a man who is chayev, she will be chayevet in this case. So that's two positions that Rav Adrabba takes. Number one is that both the isha and the ish are patur when they cut a cousin's hair, right? And number two is, right, his position is that when an isha cuts a man's hair, she will be chayevet, even though she is normally not in the parsha of, right, l'tekibot bat roshtem. That's true of an isha as well. That's what Shmuel's answer is here. Isha katan, right there, an isha and a katan are the ones who are the nizirim here. Then if it's an isha, then the one who cuts her hair is also patur. Why? Because an isha is excluded from the parsha of l'tekibot bat roshtem. Therefore, the one who's makif her hair is also excluded from the parsha of bat roshtem. So an isha and a katan who have their hair cut, no matter by whom, is fine. And an ish who has his hair cut by no matter whom is problematic. Right? That is Rav Huna's position. Rav Adrabba's position. Now Rav Huna's position, Rav Huna agrees with Adrabba that in nikaf, that the pasuk refers to nikaf. Right? But he does not make the hekesh of makif to nikaf. Right? He just says that it's all about the nikaf. And therefore, whatever the status of the nikaf is, will be what? Will be the status of the makif. It's all about the nikaf. And therefore, whoever cuts the nikaf's hair will be...
The nikaf is someone who is not allowed to be makif.
Right.
Or is it who's subject to the restriction?
No, the makif will be dictated by his limud by nikaf. By whatever his status is at the nikaf.
If the one whose hair is being cut is not allowed, if someone's not allowed to have his hair cut, then it doesn't matter who does it.
The one who's cutting will be, his restriction will be determined by what would happen if his hair is cut.
If he's in the parsha.
Right. So therefore, nikaf, everybody agrees nikaf, and then makif will be determined by lo takifu at pat roshchem means lo takifu, right? When you are pat roshchem, when you are under the restriction of pat roshchem. So therefore, according to Rav Huna, the case will be that if you have a katan, right? That a katan who is not a bar chiyuva, right? Then a gadol cannot cut his hair. Because a gadol is in the parsha of lo takifu et pat roshchem. And therefore a gadol or an ish cannot cut his hair. That's why Rav Huna couldn't cut his kid's hair. But his wife, chova.
You have chova and no chova.
Correct. Very good. Chova and no chova. That chova was not restricted in lo takifu pat roshchem. Therefore she doesn't have restriction. Therefore, according to Rav Huna, she could cut not only his kid's hair, but even Rav Huna's hair. According to Rav Huna, that a woman who is excluded from the parsha of lo takifu et pat roshchem can cut anyone's hair. Right? Whether it's...
Rav Huna doesn't ask
before. Right.
They people that she could cut his hair also.
Right, so she could cut his hair without being in violation. The problem is that he might be in violation because he has a restriction of getting his hair cut. All right, so now let's just see this in the Tosfos. So I just set it outside so you can see this. Now we'll just read it in the Tosfos here. Let's see here. All right. Let's just start from the low. If you look in the third widest line in Tosfos, third widest line down from the word in the middle of that line, it says, or the second line down, let's do the second line down, behind the Latya. Why did Rav Adrabba curse Rav Huna? Rav Adrabba, I know the feast for Atos Rav Huna. He did according to you, Rav Huna, your reasoning. Also, the Gadol Akif the Katan, a Gadol cannot be Makif the Katan, Barmalay, given the Sat, the Gadol Akif Katan, Gamisha Surah Akif. Then a woman should also be restricted. The low sphere lay the midras of the Rav Ada. He does not hold the drush of Rav Ada. The drush, Koshinisha Bashkata, Yeshno Bakafata, Liftori Shaman Kevara Ferim. to get rid of women who are mekif achamim. But after the kiddushin perakama, in the first paragraph of kiddushin, it says darshin and hulhani sheish barshkata yeshna barakofa, that there is a hekesh like this, that even the store nashim the hekifot, that is patras a woman who is nijaf. So what did we say before? What is the pasuk shad in the pasuk? The pasuk shad in the pasuk is that the pasuk is only referring to a nikah. So according to Rav Adar Alpha, that hekesh in kiddushin is only valid in the tzad nikah, because that's what the pasuk is talking about. That's true. A woman has no restriction against getting her peyot cut. That it also refers to the makif, that this hekesh also patters a woman from cutting others' hair. Ravada definitely agrees with this. The last line, the hekesh hakafa lashkata. What?
He agrees with it?
No, Vale Palig, Ravada, Baba.
He disagrees with it.
Disagrees, I'm sorry, definitely disagrees with this. The Hekesh only exists for what the simple interpretation of the Pasuk was, Kugon Binika. The Hashtra, Kligate Tarte. Now you can see they're going to argue on two different issues. What's that? Ravuna Savar, Isha Shari Lakif, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. Woman is permitted to cut the hair of a Gadol or a Katan. Because she's not restricted at all. Right? Whereas, we learned that out from the Hekesh of Hashkata. That what is the Pasuk? Whether what the nikah is dealing with or the akafah. A woman is definitely patur from having her peyot cut off. In that case, a woman is also chayevet. She will not be excluded from hekesh. So that's the first. And she'll be over it alive if she cuts someone else's hair. So that's the first machlokes between them. And Isha, who cuts others' hair, what's her status? Right? What's the status of a woman who cuts others' hair? So of course, depending on a gadol, let's call it a gadol, because that's really the question here. A woman who cuts a Isha's hair, right, according to Rav Huna, right, according to Rav Huna, an Isha cuts a man's hair, it's fine. Because a woman's, that's the parsha of the takif, whether she's the makif or the nikaf, she's out of the parsha. Whereas the other Rav reads, no, that a woman making turah from having her peyot cut, but she is not turah from cutting others. She's included in the parsha of lo takifu, which is you may not cut anybody who is restricted. And if a man's restricted, you're also restricted. Upligi nami b'katan, and they also argue about a katan. The Rav Huna sever gadol makif et katan chayav. Rav Huna believes that a gadol who cuts a katan's hair is chayav. Why? Because Rav Huna believes that if you're restricted from having your hair cut, you're also restricted from giving peyot cut. Right. He doesn't hold the drasha of Ravada. Right. He says, if you think we pass him like Rav Huna, the Isha Sharia Lahakif Katan, that a woman can cut a katan's hair, who had in the Gadol? Right? And so to a Gadol, the Sumdi Ashas Kabate, and he brings.
With the Gadol, she wouldn't have the problem of those Lahakifu because she's not included in the Isra of Hashkasa. But it shouldn't be a problem of the Fayyar.
I'm sorry?
If the Gadol, if the Ish whose hair she cuts is in violation, if he allows her to round off his hair, so it, wouldn't she be guilty of the Tehidr less national? She's causing him to be national.
Oh, in the violation, right. Meaning that he has a restriction against being nikaf here. Right. But who's the restriction? Well, the Kutan doesn't have a restriction here.
No, exactly. If we're saying that the Kutan of Muna.
Right.
Right, a woman, because she's not prohibited from landing in her hair, she's also not prohibited from cutting anyone else's, be it a gadol, be it a kohen, or even be it a gadol.
Okay.
So,
she's not
over that issue, but she'd be over the issue of being with us again.
Right. But we're talking about here in the din of hakafa. Within the din of hakafa, what's the din here? And right, so she's not mifkat on that, and therefore we're just talking about in the love of a couple, not other restrictions, other issues that she might run into.
She wouldn't be allowed to do it because of
possibly, right. She may not be able to do it because of that. Now, the last thing that Tosafot points out is now, according to you, can actually come up with a strange case here. According to Rav Huna, who your cutting of someone else's hair will determine whether you're, doesn't determine who the cutee, does not determine whether you're chayav or not. What determines whether you're chayav or not? Your status. Therefore, if a gadol is cutting a katan's hair, according to Rabbi Abba, according to Rav Huna, that it all has to do with your status.
That's why he had his wife.
Right, he had his wife do it, not him do it. You have a very strange case here. What happens if you go, if a Yisrael gadol goes and cuts a goy's head? It is my kifis rosh. So according to Rav Huna, right, it all has to do with you. You're chayav in Motzei Kivui Pat Roshem, and you're doing the hakafa, so maybe you would be chayav for cutting a goy's payot. Unbelievable case here. So he says, oh, what are you going to say? There's a difference between cutting a katan's head, because a katan is bali day hakafa at some time, versus a gadol cutting a goy's hair, who won't come into a, ever be in the restriction of a kafa. He says he doesn't like that differentiation. And he brings down the ma'araf in the end. The ma'araf says that he thinks it says, lota kibbut pat roshchem. Roshchem means your heads, which are Yisrael. Right? But then it comes out, what? So then he says in the end, so Rechiyun, according to Rav Huna, if a gadol cuts a woman's peyot, says Sarachion, maybe you would be chayiv. Because even though a woman is mufka mi parshas, but to keep it back on screen, according to Rav Huna, it doesn't matter what the kati status is. It's you who is the cutter. You are chayiv to keep it back on screen. Right. So that you'd have that a man who cut a woman's hair would be violating lota kibbut pat roshchem, according to Rav Huna. Whereas
just means Jewish male adults.
Right, but then you run into a problem, because we know that Rav Huna believes. All right, I mean that's...
Yeah, right. He can't cut a katan's hair.
Right. All right. Anyway, so that's right, because he holds that a man can't cut a katan's hair. So it's not gonna. That's, you can't limit it to that. Whoever's in the parsha of Hakavas Rosh, because we see Merkatan is mukka from that parsha, that is still covered by that. All right, we'll stop here.